Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Nice to have you back, dear audience. Your podcast team have been trawling the Western world for people with something interesting to say. And today the net has caught Dr. Hubert P.J., and I don't know how to say these letters in Dutch. Peyot?
Peyé.
Okay. Hubert Peyé van der Dorf of Beatrix Children's Hospital, University Medical Center in Groningen.
In Groningen, yeah, that's correct.
I got close, okay, in the Netherlands, who trained principally in Utrecht.
Yes.
With a three-month dip of the toe into Berlin, working on problems associated with cystic fibrosis before taking a fellowship in pediatric gastroenterology, hepatology, and nutrition at Groningen, where, as they say, if he has not yet died, he is still living today. And luckily for your podcast team, luckily for you, dear listeners, Dr. van der Dorf is very much alive. Although
yes,
he has turned away from cystic fibrosis and toward the complications, in particular the vascular complications, of liver transplantation, how to identify them and how to address them. Work in this area requires casting the net widely, note from trawl to net. We're doing a fish metaphor here. With multi-institutional collaborations and supranational registries, if one is to learn what factors in clinical management, and warning, last fish joke coming up, what factors will tip the scales one way or the other. Dr. van der Dorf in this interview speaks to the association between early graft loss, 12 to 20% in the first year, in pediatric liver transplantation and vascular complications related to the hepatic artery and portal vein. He tells us how data from the hepatic, that's in all in large letters, capital letters, and portal, again, large letters, registries supported by Delphi analysis, can guide the development of a standardized core outcome set for vascular complications in pediatric liver transplantation. And he points toward how insights from these two registries, again supported by Delphi analysis, can best shape the development of evidence-based clinical guidelines for the management of vascular complications in pediatric liver transplantation. And when you click on the cover note associated with this podcast, you'll be presented with several references that offer an introduction to this aspect of healthcare. I think maybe we should start with a quick once-over for those like me who are statistically illiterate of what Delphi analysis entails.
Delphi analysis is a method where you just search for collaboration between centers, and if you for like example portal vein stenosis or complications, where you don't have standard guidelines, you try to search for a team to find collaboration and similarities in clinical management or diagnosis or how to treat. You have several rounds where you find consistency in management.
So here is one center, here's another. Teams at each center have reported on vascular complications of one sort or another.
Yes.
And then you create a database listing aspects of vascular complications of liver transplantation, or listing aspects of the surgical approaches taken, and then go through their reports to say, in center A, this was done, tick, 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 down the boxes, and in center B, that was done, tick, tick, oop, nothing there, next box, tick. Have I got that right?
No.
Okay,
of course not.
You'd have to explain it better.
No, I will explain it better. So you have, everybody has the data, but everybody has a different view on how the data is the interpretation of the data and how the clinical management is on the specific patients. And then you have several rounds how people think about the project, and about the consistent evidence, of course. So you do also do, and then you search for ways to have one management with a lot of centers, and then you have several rounds about how to find collaboration and I hope one way to first report how you report data, and then maybe also in management. But management is more difficult. So first is more if everybody reports the same outcome measures, for example, then it's more easy to compare studies.
Okay.
And then we can combine it more, and then for future studies it will be more easy to combine it.
So Delphi analysis operates at the level of what should we be talking about as we approach recording these patients?
Delphi analysis is a method, so you can do it for a core outcome set. You can do it for clinical management. You can do it for so it's a way of coming to consensus.
And again, it involves polling, taking the temperature, as it were, on particular points at the center, at the other center, and then comparing the results?
Yeah, it's a lot about opinions. Mm-hmm. So you have a group of experts, the Delphi rounds, that the experts all are in, the noses are in the same direction, actually. And that's about data, but also about the it's always about the experience of experience of the centers.
Well, it sounds as though this particular article, I'm about to read the name, by Stevens et al.
Yes.
Portal vein complications and outcomes following pediatric liver transplantation. Those are the points on which you wish to achieve consensus. Data from the Society of Pediatric Liver Transplantation, in which everybody says this is how we did it, this is what we got.
Yeah, so for example, for the for portal vein complications, it will be very nice if we could come to a consensus what really a portal vein stenosis is. So nobody really knows. So you have radiology sounds.
Something as simple as that and nobody knows?
No, so Yeah, but so it begins with the first question. So like, what is a portal vein stenosis? And there's no definition. So everybody has his own definition, or look at adult data. Because especially for the portal vein, and the children, they have, with biliatresia, they have very specific, so they have a very small portal vein, and they get a large portal vein from a donor. So they have a mismatch in portal vein at the anastomosis. And that's something what's not very common in adults, because most of the time the adults have larger vessels, so you have less mismatch. So it's very specific, especially in the biliatresia patients. It's a very specific complication. But yeah, even so, it all began with a case where I got interested in this.
This is what I love, is saying, and this was the jumping off place. This is what got me started. So tell the story.
Yeah, so I just was, we had a patient which was bleeding because of a portal, was after transplantation, it was bleeding because of a portal hypertension. And then we did follow-up and diagnosis, and then we came that the patient had a portal vein stenosis and had to be treated by balloon dilatation. And then I dive deeper in the evidence and how it was, and nothing was known. So there was no definition of portal vein stenosis. You didn't know exactly how to treat it. And therefore, I got interested in the topic. Then I thought, okay, maybe there are more cases. And then and I started with the protocol. Mm-hmm. And then from the one came another. And then I got a discussion with the other PI of the project, Reinhard Bockers. He's an interventional radiologist.
Okay.
And then we got interested in the topic. And then we first looked at our own data, and then we looked at other centers, and then the portal registry came, and there were three different worlds which were not talking to each other. So you had the pediatric hepatology world, you had the interventional radiology world, it's a very different world, and you had the surgical world.
Which is a different planet.
All had interest in the vascular anastomosis after pediatric liver transplantation,
mm-hmm.
and all had their own societies, their own congresses, but there were no places where you could discuss together about when to treat, how to treat, and how to diagnose. So therefore, because first I was more talking in my hospital with all the specialists, and became very interested in interventional radiology. But then I came that there's no international collaboration. So we started the registry, and because everybody works in a very specialized field and have a few cases, they didn't find it difficult to share the cases in one registry. So otherwise you could have that some find it difficult to share their data
for battling registries. Yes.
For the bigger topic, but this was no problem at all. So a lot of few centers have started in Europe, and then if you have more centers, others will also come. So then we first started with European centers, and then we get more globally. So now we have a lot of centers into the second registry of hepatic artery complications.
Hepatic artery complications, got you. Now, are you in a position to tell us what you found? What results these registries have yielded?
Yes. Because we also have it. We have a lot of talks on the ASPCON annual meeting. So now my two PhDs. So Lydia Sieben is on the portal vein complications, and Weihao Li is on the hepatic artery complications. Basically, what they both found is that vascular complications, so portal vein and hepatic artery, very early after transplantation, so within the first two to three weeks, have a very severe outcome. And also in patient survival. Mm-hmm. So they have a high mortality. It's about 20% within the first year of both. And the graft survival is even higher. For example, in hepatic artery complications, it's nearly, it differs 40 to 60%. So that's quite high within the first year. And everybody, so the most, they have the first month after transplantation, they have the highest graft loss and the highest frequency of graft loss and also of mortality. So in the beginning, it's really tough.
So, of course, people will ask, well, now you know the incidence of these complications, and it's deplorable, and what are we going to do about it?
I have some ideas for that, but it is quite difficult.
Now, we only have 5 minutes, okay?
I think we have to make consensus about screening and prevention.
Screening? What do you mean screening here?
So when screening is with ultrasound.
Yeah, but screening immediately after transplantation.
After transplantation.
Making certain that you catch any problems as early as possible.
And that you hope, but that's not...
Hope is good.
And that you hope that you can treat it as early as possible. And then you also hope that it doesn't get worse. Yeah, so because it's...
yeah.
Yeah, but that's something, which needs to be investigated. But if you're the general feeling and thoughts are, if you get it early, if you catch it early, you can treat it.
I know, but the question of how to treat it is just thrombolytic agents.
That's a very interesting question. So for the portal vein, if you have a portal vein occlusion, so a thrombosis, in the beginning they do a lot of people do a lot of surgery, and afterwards they there's now discussion about. So they do a Mesorex. Mm-hmm. So that's a surgical bypass. Mm-hmm. Or they do a recanalization in the vessel, so an endovascular recanalization. And that's new, and it's always so. Now you heard that a lot on the within the annual meeting that it's the new toy for a lot of, but there's not much data on it. And so that's for the portal vein. And for the hepatic artery, it's more difficult. So Weihau also talked about that. And most of the time they do a surgical revascularization. So they get out of the thrombus gets out of the hepatic artery, and you hope that you succeed. And he showed that if you succeed, then the graft survival is much better than if you do not succeed.
I better write that down.
That makes sense, I think.
It does indeed. Yeah, it does indeed.
Yes. But you also have new techniques. So endovascular is also getting more popular because it's less invasive. Mm-hmm. But that was like 10% of the cases. Also conservative, so like only anticoagulation or nothing. Mm-hmm. And some also do early retransplantation. But the problem for comparing all these treatments is that it's retrospective. You have selection bias. So people have his own protocol or have a reason to go for retransplantation. Most of the time is that because the graft is very injured, so you have more like acute liver failure, and then they think, okay, well, it's be joint repair, so new liver. Mm-hmm. But that differs, and that's something we work on now: how to work with the selection bias. But that's difficult to really investigate.
Fair enough. So, evidence-based clinical guidelines.
Yes.
Have you got a manuscript ready to go?
No, that's a new project. So we hope that we get a new PhD also for that project. So that's now she has an application, and we have a very nice network now with interventional radiologists, surgeons, and pediatric hepatologists. And it will be very nice if you can use it and to have different societies combined to have a guideline on that. We start with the portal vein complication because we started with the portal registry, and we have also a systematic review, so we know the data already, and we have added with the portal registry, and we hope that we can combine it in strategies for screening, treatment, and then also follow up, how to follow up on those patients and the diagnosis, because what I just said on the portal vein stenosis, for example.
Well, I think that I certainly wish you every success, and I wish your team every success, and I bet everybody listening to this podcast wishes you well.
Thanks.
But we are, as always, too soon out of time. Hubert, what do you recommend that our audience check out on the Espigan Favorite Songs Spotify playlist, as speaking particularly to Dr. van der Dorf and to life in Holland even? What's your song?
So my song is Europapa, and it's a song of last year's Eurovision Song Festival. I really like the song, and it's also a little bit, the song, the vibe is a little bit what I had in my youth, so the typical beats in it.
Thanks for recommending that song, and thanks for talking to us today.
Okay. Thank you very much.